Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on RBN on this Friday, January 17th, 2025. Well, we've got a few things to cover for you. I do have a roadmap for our technician to put up that will be available to you, presumably right now, certainly after the broadcast. And as I routinely say in that roadmap, there are additional stories that will add to that roadmap over the weekend. So in this particular case, I am away from my usual studio, which means that the good news is my studio is actually finished now in regard to being able to use all of my studio equipment for future editions of this show. My library with hundreds of books is beginning to move back into some decent shelving. And I've got a gun safe. I won't tell you what's inside the safe, but I got a deal on a gun safe. And I thought it interesting that at Academy recently in San Antonio, a few weeks ago anyway, they offered me a can't-turn-it-down sale price on a 64-gun safe that's plenty heavy. So heavy that it took a team of mules to get the thing into my office. But nonetheless, I duly note that our friends at the Texas State Rifle Association, in terms of what they were trying to do in raising money for TSRA this past Christmas season, we're offering people an opportunity to win that very safe if you bought one raffle ticket or two or three or five or whatever it happened to be. So that's pretty much the stage that I have reached, excuse me, in terms of my radio studio returning to normal with my library. And all of the studio equipment is ready to roll and hooked up and operational. I've had to update a lot of things, of course, and to get a more sophisticated situation into my studio in regard to blocking crackpots, potential and real, that are out there that obviously plague all of us who are involved in alt-right radio with all kinds of different things. But we continue to persevere after all these years. We continue to do so at RBN. By the way, send RBN some money. We need money, your money, to continue these broadcasts. I'm talking about the studio. I'm not talking about me. However, if you want to send me a few bucks, you can do that too. But the real important thing is to keep RBN on the air with not simply this show, but all the shows that have been available to you up to now on this network, and that hopefully will continue to be on the air as we move into uncharted waters. So I'll just put that idea out there for you as we are now in the so-called new year. You know what's interesting? I will be 70 years old this July. And when you start kicking around all kinds of biblical prophecies that pertain to 70 and 70 times 7 and 490 and all of these other things that various people eschatologically have tried to interpret through the centuries, excuse me, I still have my cedar fever going, by the way. It's a sacrifice of my voice to be on here today, although I am on the mend. But occasionally you'll hear me ruffle it up a little bit. So I apologize for that, even as I get back to you with what I was about to say, which is that when you start dealing with numbers like 7 and 70 and 490 and the 70th week of Daniel, and 144,000 Jews, whatever that actually means, in the Apocalypse of John, there are all kinds of fanciful interpretations, some of them downright dangerous, that are going to have, I think, an impact on what is going to happen in our foreign policy and in all kinds of things that pertain to this particular calendar year. But nonetheless, if I get on this network and tell you that after I pass 70 or become 70 in July, that God is suddenly speaking to me directly in regard to all kinds of visions and prophecies in my latest book that is out there on what's going to happen in the next week, please refer me to the psychiatrist of your choice. I've never been engaged in that kind of nonsense because I know it's not simply nonsense politically. It's nonsense theologically. It's nonsense in terms of responsible understanding of the scriptures and of church history and of systematic theology at the graduate level where I was involved for quite a number of years. But nonetheless, excuse me, it's significant that there are a lot of people out there saying all kinds of things that have nothing to do with a sound interpretation of these various texts or any openness on their part to the fact that they might be wrong. Well, let's take a look at a few of what I think are the better stories here. I've got a funny one for you here. Excuse me. You must bear with me through this cedar fever, folks. I was bound and determined not to cancel on you again today. So let's get on with what I think is a hilarious story in the midst of some very dark ones. And it comes to us from CNN. Joe Biden tells us on his last weekend as president that the one major regret that he has is that he didn't tout his accomplishments more, all of the great things that he did while he was president of the United States. If you don't believe that, that particular link is on your roadmap. You can turn to CNN right now if you care to and see that that is exactly what he said. And it's absolutely amazing that if there is any single piece of evidence among the many that have accumulated that this poor man is not in his right mind, it's making a statement like that on what is mercifully going to be his last weekend as the president of the United States. It says a lot about our so-called republic that this man was ever elected to that office, both he and his vice president. In a few days, including on this broadcast right now, we're going to be talking, however, about some of the things that pertain to the incoming Trump 2 administration, things that disturb me, certainly. They should disturb you. And I think a lot of the folks in alt-right media are ignoring this story. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars is one of the major exceptions to that. And I have put on your roadmap something that he has published in the current edition of Culture Wars that he was gracious enough to also make electronically available to people who are not subscribers to Culture Wars. Be you a Roman Catholic, a traditional Roman Catholic or not, this guy is one of the incredible commentators of our time in regard to matters political and theological. He is absolutely a Leviathan figure that you must get to know if you don't know him already. He is so dangerous to the controlled media in this country and to a government that controls what is allowed on the internet that his YouTube channel, which had an amazing number of subscribers, I don't even know what the final figure was as the number of people who were following his videos and his posts every day in YouTube when it conveniently disappeared. Which brings us to something else I'll just mention in passing. The Supreme Court of the United States today, and this is in your roadmap, I have the basic story up there from CNN. I'm going to be getting some good alt-right commentary on this decision one way or the other onto your roadmap this weekend after this broadcast so that you can go back to the roadmap and see these additions. But the Supreme Court of the United States has given a green light for the United States government to ban the Chinese TikTok. Many of you are on TikTok, I presume. I'm on there, but I never use it. I do keep an eye on occasional things that come my way through there. But nonetheless, it is quite obvious that the Supreme Court of the United States, once again, is involved in incredible violation of your First Amendment rights and mine. Now, they're putting it in regard to the dangers of the Chinese government's data collection on American citizens. They're putting this rhetorically in the ballpark of national security concerns of what has been described as an adversary of the United States. I wasn't aware that we were at war with these people. I wasn't aware, of course, that any of the rights that you and I have, allegedly as Americans, that involve the First Amendment, and that involve our right to access, except under the most extreme of circumstances, any brand of information that we choose. But nonetheless, be aware of the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States has given its nod to Joe Biden's attempt once again, to get something off of the internet that he does not approve of. It also begs the question as to what Donald Trump is going to decide to do, since the decision on whether or not to ban TikTok, at least it's a Chinese-owned entity, is going to be left to Mr. Trump in regard to enforcing this or not in the coming days that are ahead. We'll see what he does, but it links up in concept, this whole TikTok issue, and this Supreme Court decision, where at least as of the last version of the CNN article that I read, does not give us too much information about who voted for this and who didn't vote for it. One of the things that I have learned is that Justice Sotomayor, with whom I disagree on a lot of issues, nonetheless voted my way on this, in this particular case, by basically saying that this was an infringement of the First Amendment rights of Americans to listen to and watch whatever they want to, except under the most compelling of circumstances. And in this particular case, at least for Sotomayor, the United States government has failed to prove its case. I'm describing in my own verbiage what I believe that she said in this decision, but nonetheless, I think that that's a fair interpretation of what I did read that she did say in regard to her particular vote. But as of the last time I checked CNN, there is no vote total where we have yays and nays listed. And the opinion that was rendered on this case is unsigned. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. Unsigned, to where we are kind of groping for a sense of how many votes were yay and nay on this most critical issue, where it's quite obvious that the United States government continues to pursue an avenue of attack against the Chinese government that would suggest that further ominous developments are ahead, both as it relates to trade and more specifically to coming potential military developments in the days and the weeks and the months that are ahead. By the way, if you don't believe this, check it out on Google. I have tucked away in some things to read this weekend a post that was put there by a name that you would recognize in the national security establishment, specifically in one of the branches of the American Armed Forces. In this particular case, it was a Navy admiral who was saying that the Pentagon is preparing contingency plans for a war with Red China by 2027. Think of that, folks, the mess we are already in globally. And apparently the people that perpetually get us involved in situations where we don't belong, these folks are now, it would appear, starting to push the envelope, beginning, of course, in earnest with Barack Obama's pivot toward China. This now, of course, has continued under the Biden administration. And we don't know, in terms of Donald Trump, despite his verbiage, what he will or won't do in regard to TikTok and trade arrangements with China, and just how far he will go with these proposed tariffs. So keep an eye on that story. But this whole issue of TikTok gets into something that an organization called Reclaim the Net posted this in this last couple of days. Reclaim the Net. I don't remember whether it's .com or .org. I'm going to say it's .org, but the roadmap will have it down correctly in terms of the link where you can go to the chicanery that the United States government has been up to in regard to manipulation of the internet that involves something that was going under the name of the Global Engagement Center. If you've never heard of the Global Engagement Center, it basically involves a circumstance where something being directed by the State Department, and presumably with a good helping hand from America's intelligence agencies, there are at least 16 of those. How many of those may have been involved in helping the State Department with this Global Engagement Center, GEC, is presently unknown to me, but we can imagine at least who some of the players will probably prove to be. But this involved the State Department's attempts not only to spin the positions of the United States government in a direction that, of course, our governmental masters desire, but also to attempt to tag everything that they want tagged from any foreign media source as untrustworthy information that is coming to the American public via some sort of sinister foreign force. You can imagine, of course, who some of those players would be. There's Russia and their various news agencies. There is Iran, certainly. You can add China to that mix. Basically, it would involve any information coming from any foreign source that would tend to have the average American believing that their own government was manipulating them and lying to them. Now, we know that they've been doing that routinely for decades and decades and decades. That's not surprising. But the total outrage in this circumstance is now the Global Engagement Center has been renamed. That's right, it's been renamed. And up on your roadmap, you will see the name of the same organization with a new brand name. And if Matt Taibbi is correct, this organization will be doing the same things that it was doing as the so-called Global Engagement Center. This organization will have the same mission and same ideological direction as the so-called Global Engagement Center did. Basically, this is a sleight of hand and an attempt to keep the United States government deciding what you and I can listen to, what we can read from sources that they don't control, and under circumstances where we can make up our own minds as to what we believe and don't believe, where basically you and I have the same opportunity and should have the same opportunity as Americans that Francis Bacon once spun in terms of this whole issue of reading. I'm sure that in today's world, Mr. Bacon would be talking about listening as well and watching. Basically, the idea is this. Bacon said many years ago, many, many, many years ago, read not to believe and take for granted, nor to contradict and confute, but to weigh and consider. That should be your privilege and mine as Americans to go to any source of information that we want to. Within, of course, certain limitations. I don't believe that viewing child pornography, producing it, or viewing it has anything to do with your First Amendment rights and mine. There would be very careful and controlled circumstances under which, if this country was in a declared state of war with a particular country, that some of these restrictions on your rights and mine would certainly come into play, even if that in and of itself still raises constitutional issues. But nonetheless, for the most part, except under the most compelling circumstances, the U.S. government should not be telling you or me what we watch, what we listen, or what we read. Weigh and consider, folks. We'll be back. That's Eddie Arnold with Ghost Riders in the Sky. Stay tuned.
The Ghost Riders in the Sky.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away. Make the world go away.
We are back. You are listening to the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, January 17th, 2025. And by the way, just think about this for a moment. Joe Biden, of course, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, says that his one regret is that he didn't emphasize more of his own accomplishments as president of the United States in his one term. I think he had plenty of accomplishments, but there's a reason why he, in my view, hasn't talked too much about them, is that those accomplishments are virtually all disastrous accomplishments, but that doesn't by any means get Mr. Trump off the hook in regard to some things that he did in his first term as it pertains to the Soleimani assassination and what I think is the illegitimate end of the JCPOA P5 plus one deal with Iran and these other nations that I think would have been a good deal for everyone concerned. That's simply my perspective on this. And then, of course, Mr. Trump, as far as COVID vaccines and so forth, has a record that deserves closer inspection. Will he do better in this next term? Obviously, I'm not a prophet. I'd like to be a prophet, although basically with the way things often turned out for biblical prophets during the biblical period of time, a lot of the best prophets didn't fare too well. So maybe in that sense, I'm a prophet. But as far as the overall situation, Mr. Trump should draw the same scrutiny over many of the same issues as his soon-to-be predecessor. I don't think there's any greater proof of this than a post that E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars has put out there on Pete Hegseth in his current issue. However, the good news is he has an electronic version of that article that is available to you on your roadmap, along with my commentary on this issue of Pete Hegseth. And also Global Research and Middle East Eye have their own posts on Pete Hegseth and his links to the so-called Temple Mount movement among the most extreme Zionists that Israel has to offer, people who believe that it is their prerogative in terms of the biblical narrative, such as they understand it, for the so-called Third Temple to be placed in the site of the present Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Now, it may be true, maybe, that there is a biblical basis for believing that this is in fact going to happen. However, the notion that Israel has a divine right to do this and that this is basically a wonderful thing that we should support as far as our allegiances, that we should support in a person who is about to become the next Defense Secretary of the United States, that is another issue in its entirety. And Dr. E. Michael Jones, in that post for Culture Wars, it's definitely something that you need to take a look at, along with my own commentary on this. My own commentary on this for VT Foreign Policy, which, of course, is there on your roadmap, is entitled The Clarion Call in the Night for Greg Zagor Braun's Fire Extinguisher. If you don't know who Mr. Braun is, he is a member of the Polish Parliament. Mr. Braun is very handy with a fire extinguisher, as you will learn if you read the Daily Mail post, which is in my own article, so that you can understand precisely the significance of Braun's actions in putting out a Jewish menorah last year with a fire extinguisher in a public place. Now, the interesting thing, whether you agree with what he did or not, it's indicative of a much larger movement in Europe, both East and West, and arguably in the United States, however much it might be in its incipient stage, for a revolt against the Zionist entity in regard to continuing to feel it necessary to support anything that these people do, no matter how outrageous, no matter how murderous or genocidal it proves to be. And in my own article, which is posted for you on the roadmap, this was published on VT Foreign Policy yesterday, I rely heavily on my reading of what Dr. Jones has posted for Culture Wars. We have that link up for you as well on the roadmap. That one is entitled Slouching Toward Jerusalem, Pete Hegseth Welcomes the Antichrist. Now, if you look at that article of Dr. Jones, or you look at my article where I am commenting on Dr. Jones and his perspective on this, which I happen to completely share, by the way, add to that the Middle East Eye story and the global research post on Hegseth and Hegseth's connections to these people, and you will begin to understand the extent to which this may, in fact, have eschatological significance for the Christian, but it involves the entrance of Antichrist. I want to repeat that again, and this is based on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who is it, Pete Hegseth, who will take his seat in that temple and proclaim himself to be God? It isn't Jesus Christ, Pete Hegseth. It is Antichrist. It is the man of perdition. It is the beast of Revelation 13, and he will be a counterfeit of Jesus Christ who will deceive many with signs and wonders, but he will be operating for the New World Order. He will be operating for Globo Homo. He will be operating as the head of a system that is in the process of development now that will involve global governance, but that global governance will have a distinctive Jewish component, a significant predominant Jewish component, unless you consider that to be crack pottery. Read Dr. Jones, his article in Culture Wars that I've made available to you. You would do well with a print subscription to his publication, by the way. I'm a subscriber. He did not ask me to promote him on this show or to drum up more sales of his very fine publication. I'm doing that on my own because I think you can be a very informed person, perhaps more informed than you've been in the past, in regard to the linkage between these competing theological systems and daily brushes with eschatological developments here at the end of history that may be very deception. this business of deception and the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, is a deception that I think is very much linked to this question of false Israel. That the Israel of today, I argue, and Dr. Jones would argue on the basis of our understanding of Holy Scripture and church history, this Israel of today, this Ashkenazic Jewish creation that was pulled off in the late 1940s at great dispossession of the people who were already there, who had nothing to do with what did or did not happen in Europe in World War II, has now set the stage, not simply for this ongoing genocide in Palestine, but these folks with this Temple Mount movement are people who think it is entirely of God to replace the Al-Aqsa Mosque with the so-called Third Temple. This is without repentance. This is without return to covenantal obedience to the biblical God. This is certainly without any affirmation of the identity of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It has everything to do with a global homo, New World Order government that will be predominantly staffed with Zionists and Zionist Jews who will at some point allow Antichrist, whoever he may prove to be, to take his seat in the temple of God and proclaim himself to be God, just as the Apostle Paul states it for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What is the implication of this? It is as follows. Donald Trump has placed a man in a position to be our next defense secretary, a man who believes this sort of thing, and whose ideological perspective, which has been known for a number of years, including a speech he made on this in Israel, in, of all places, the King David Hotel, which the Leahy and Stern gangs firebombed, of course, to drive out the British presence from Palestine in the late 1940s. Not an accident, I presume, that Hegseth chose to speak, I believe in 2018 on this subject, from the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, but that it is laid out in such a way that Hegseth has no idea, we presume he has no idea, maybe he does, I don't know. Presumably he has no idea of the real eschatological significance of that temple and its rebuilding, if it's to happen, and that in so doing this, he would be committing, as the Secretary of Defense of the United States, would be committing our military and our foreign policy establishment to what presumably is the policy of Donald Trump on this subject, which I find to be more than dangerous. This is absolute craziness. And if you go to E. Michael Jones' extended discussion on this in the Culture Wars link in your roadmap, Daniel McAdams, of course, frequently turns up at the Ron Paul Institute, absolutely made it clear, and I am quoting Daniel McAdams at this point, that Pete Hegseth is a lunatic. He is a cultist. He is a lunatic. He is involved with an eschatological perspective which has gotten the United States more deeply involved in this with every passing year. First of all, since the 19th century's activities of one William E. Blackstone, the Christian Zionist businessman from Chicago. Some very fine links that we will make sure that you see in regard to Blackstone. Some of those I put into my own article. But from that time forward, all the way up through World War I, the interim period between the world wars, and then finally in the late 1940s with the real launching of the Zionist state officially, we keep getting more deeply involved in this time and time and time again. Now let me ask you this. In terms of global Judaism and the vast majority of Jewish organizations in the United States and abroad, how many of these organizations are anti-Christian? not simply anti-Christian in terms of the fact that they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but in terms of a militant promotion of a worldview that has cropped up now in American educational circles, that has cropped up big time in the American news media, that is something that a percentage of people who support Israel up on Capitol Hill have publicly subscribed to, which is anti-Christ, gay rights, abortion on demand, global gun control, ongoing support for genocide in Gaza and in Palestine, ongoing expansion of illegal Zionist settlements in the occupied territories, also known as the West Bank, ongoing attacks on their surrounding foreign neighbors that should be condemned by the UN. But even if they get a condemnation, the United States routinely vetoes any significance of those condemnations in regard to things going on in southern Lebanon, the things that have been going on in Syria for years and years and years that accelerated from 2011 on forward, that have now resulted in Syria in the coming division of that country. Oh, you've got Israel, you've got Turkey, you've got the United States, none of whom have any legal business at all being in that country, by the way. But it's time to carve up Syria. Water rights, pipeline significance, oil and natural gas, such as they may exist there, especially oil, Syrian grain. This country is systematically being destroyed, primarily first and foremost by the Zionist entity that, in conjunction with the United States, facilitated the creation and the funding of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of the subsequent entities that have been at work to implement the Zionist agenda in Syria and elsewhere. Think about this for a minute. We were talking a little earlier in the show about the renaming of the State Department's Global Engagement Center, which involves manipulating Americans' views of information coming from foreign news sources. Same organization, still there. They've just given it another name. What in the name of Hades do you think is going on in Syria? The United States is working with an entity that is now supposedly controlling that country, a control that's very tenuous because of all of the tribalism and outside interference that continues there, by the way. But this new organization, it would seem, is called HTS. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. HTS. Ever heard of it? It's probably a new name to many of you. This is previously the al-Nusra organization, however, which prior to that time was known as al-Qaeda. Think about it, folks. The United States has decided that it's just terrific that this kind of a Sunni Wahhabic organization has suddenly displaced President Assad of Syria, at the behest of whom? Chiefly Israel, but with an assist from Turkey and at least historically Saudi Arabia, but where the United States was the chief henchman involved in all of this because of our support of Israel and all the things that have happened in Syria since 2011 that have finally culminated in what is clearly a partnership between al-Qaeda, now al-Nusra, now called HTS, and supposedly all of this is a circumstance where the United States is supporting this, even while it pretends to be anti-ISIS. The fact remains, folks, and Edward Snowden told us the truth about this years ago. The United States and Israel created these Sunni Wahhabic organizations to use them as front groups for their own purposes. Aimed at what? At Shia Iran, of course, and at the Alawite regime of President Assad in Syria, aimed at Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. But ultimately, this alliance, this nefarious, totally less than covert alliance, was designed to facilitate the dismemberment of Syria as the beginning of Israel's achievement of its greater Israel, Eretz Yisrael, if you heard of that in Hebrew, greater Israel, Zionist control of all of this territory between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers. Think about it, folks. This is what is truly behind this whole situation. As a prelude to the creation of a Zionist Jewish-driven world government that will have its headquarters in a so-called United Jerusalem, and where once the Third Temple is rebuilt, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will take his seat in the temple of God and proclaim himself to be God. This is what Pete Hegseth is involved with, folks. Don't believe that? All of the evidence is there. He's made public appearances on behalf of these Temple Mount people that are the basis for what E. Michael Jones tells us in Culture Wars, that are the basis for what we now learn from Chasadovsky's global research, and certainly Middle East Eye has also weighed in on this. This is absolutely factual. I want you to read those stories. In addition to my own take on all of this, based upon the other three sources, based upon the fact that I have a postgraduate background in studying this kind of eschatology, by the way, we won't toot my horn anymore beyond that on this particular issue, other than to say that we are bringing back an allegedly America First presidential administration of Donald Trump. America First President Trump? That was starting to wear thin with me in the first Trump administration. It really is wearing thin on me now as we learn more about Pete Hegseth, primarily his eschatological lunacy and crack pottery, as Daniel McAdams and E. Michael Jones and others would see it. There are also questions about his administrative abilities. I'm not in a particular position to deal with that, obviously. And then, of course, some very serious questions about his morals, which many of his supporters in the alt-right choose to ignore, except at least some of that happens to be provably true, some of it. I don't know that all of it's true, but as Jones points out in Culture Wars, on your roadmap, all of this pales in significance to this man's links to the Temple Mount movement in Israel and what this man actually believes about the significance of the Zionist state and what he believes will be his role as Secretary of Defense of the United States in regard to working with the President of the United States to implement a foreign policy that is rooted in this sort of lunacy that I believe is also rooted in demonic deception. This is an eschatological invention of the first third of the 19th century, folks. Nobody had ever heard of this prior to that time. It subsequently wound its way into the Scofield Reference Bible, published by the Rothschild-owned Oxford Publishing Company in Britain. After the advent of the American Civil War, the war between the states, it crossed the Atlantic Ocean and began to take over the belief systems of an increasing number of people who would identify themselves as Protestant evangelicals. And now, of course, when we start thinking of names like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church right here in San Antonio in his so-called Christians United for Israel outfit, you start thinking of the late Jerry Falwell, the late Pat Robertson, and Hal Lindsey. We must not forget Hal. He passed away very, very recently, not living to see the final outworking of what he personally believed, which was basically a Scofield Reference Bible eschatology, courtesy of John Nelson Darby and the Plymouth Brethren in the first third of the 19th century. Believe this stuff or not, folks, it has implications. And for those of you who read what Jones has to say, what I have to say about it, which references some of the work I've done on this in graduate school, and certainly the Middle East Eye and global research posts on Mr. Hegseth, I think that we are in uncharted waters in terms of putting someone like this at the helm of the American Defense Department. Now, take a look at other national security picks of Mr. Trump.
including his Zionist Secretary of State, incoming Marco Rubio. Rubio has been supported for years in his candidacies in the U.S. Senate by some of the most extreme Zionist elements that exist in this country, including Paul Singer, the homosexual Jew who managed Rubio's ill-fated presidential run a number of years ago, I believe in 2016. Rubio has a lot of links, folks, to the same kinds of people as Hegseth. Arguably, the only difference is that Hegseth's extremism, and I use that word extremist very carefully, is more obvious to anyone who reads these posts that I cite in my own article. How long does this charade go on in terms of America First? And to show you how deceptive it is, let's take a look at Mr. Hegseth's credentials. He is a veteran of the Iraq and Afghani wars. Okay, that's going to appeal to a significant section of our pro-military community, among those of us in the alt-right. I'll say fair enough to that for now. We won't get into arguments about what I have come to believe about the empire and its use of the American military. But here you have a military veteran, allegedly served honorably, who, at the same time, is someone who... again, not only has links to the Temple Mount folks, but when you start getting into this guy's personal life, there are a lot of questions that linger about his character. But because of the fact that he is a military veteran, because of the fact that he says that he opposes wokeness, presumably that means imposing the LGBTQ agenda on the American military. Very good, Mr. Hegseth. I happen to support that idea myself. Hegseth wants to get rid of the worst elements of this DEI, diversion, exclusion, what is it? Diversion, excuse me, diversion, equality, and inclusion, I think. He wants to get rid of so much of that in the American military, as Trump says that he does. All well and good, Mr. Hegseth. I support that as well. But if you're turning around and supporting the world Zionist movement, you need to ask yourself what group it is that has been behind the development of this woke ideology and behind LGBTQ, behind the disenfranchised of white male Americans in particular, that has been behind the most radical elements of the feminist movement in this country since the 1950s and 60s, that has been behind a series of things that we would call cultural Marxism. You can't get away from this, Hegseth. You know exactly, or should know, who has been the center, the epicenter of the support, logistically and financially and politically, of all of this stuff that we have now come to know as the woke movement in this country, including Black Lives Matter and all of these other people. So, at one level, you say that you oppose the woke movement, you oppose the DEI element in the American military. You want to make sure that America can defend itself again in terms of its national security. All well and good. I think we need to define what is and is not a part of the national security of the United States. But nonetheless, this guy says a number of things that resonate with many of us on the right, to a point. But to say that you are an America First president, or an America First defense secretary, or an America First secretary of state, when you are controlled by these kinds of Zionist elements, it will not wash. Donald Trump is proving once again that he is no Charles Lindbergh. He's no Robert Taft. He's no Pat Buchanan. Donald Trump is an entirely new entity who's very skilled at manipulating the masses and from time to time does have an idea that I would support. And arguably, and I say arguably, we will presume that he's better than his outgoing incompetent Joe Biden was. But we'll wait to see if it really plays out that way in history. In the meantime, I would emphasize to you that if you are involved in this Temple Mount movement, if you are involved in supporting the genocide and the dispossession of Palestinians throughout every Okay, very good. Let me simply say one other thing, and I'll take a caller. Thank you. Because I'm away from my studio, I can't see the usual screen that I have where my very fine technician is tipping me off. I want you to look, folks, at the way in which these same folks are advocating a preemptive strike on Iran. And take a look at some of the links that have been posted, the initial links, there will be more this weekend, that assess what is really going on in regard to Russia's success in a so-called special military operation. And then we'll have some additional links up there for you on the meeting of Putin and Pezeshkian, which has now resulted in a comprehensive strategic cooperation agreement between Russia and Iran. All of that plays into what we've been talking about with Hegseth and the Zionists. Start reading this weekend, I hope, and I will be putting up some additional stories for you. Let's take the first caller. Go ahead.
Hello?
Benny, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mark. It's good to see you. My question is, does the ceasefire in Gaza play into what you're talking about today? Because from what I understand, there's no Trump is giving Israel free rein to do what it wants to on the West Bank. And Pete Hegseth and the Kufi people and the Christian Zionist Third Temple people, their priority is not Gaza, it's the West Bank. And the rest of the Israeli military realizes that Hamas has destroyed so much of Israel's armor and bulldozers that they can't really take care of the West Bank and continue Gaza at the same time. Also, the Israeli Air Force, all of Israel's Air Force airfields are very close to the West Bank if they're vulnerable to drone strikes, asymmetrical warfare. So, this is just basically a shift in priorities.
Well, I think you're absolutely right on that, Vinny, and I would point you to a press television Iran story that I have not yet put up on our roadmap, but I'll have it up there probably tonight, certainly this weekend. And according to press television, Iran, and they are quoting an Israeli news source which published this, according to this particular Israeli news source, Trump and Netanyahu allegedly, and I say allegedly because I don't have the absolute proof that this is true, but it has the ring of truth to me, Trump and Netanyahu have come allegedly, and this is an Israeli news agency reporting this, Press TV Iran repristinating it, Trump and Netanyahu have decided that this Gaza ceasefire is a great way to start the new year with the understanding that Mr. Trump is going to let Netanyahu resume his military operations in Gaza and whatever it is that he wants to do in the West Bank after a so-called decent interval. That, to me, is perhaps the most critical angle that's available on this. First of all, I don't think the ceasefire is going to last very long, whatever the causes for its collapse. And I have to admit, I don't trust Trump, and I don't trust Netanyahu in regard to their sincerity at all in this whole issue of a so-called ceasefire. And if this Israeli news source that Press Television Iran is quoting does have inside information, then this ceasefire is just the latest fraud that is being perpetrated by an incoming administration, which is no different from the fraud that has been perpetrated by American administrations for decades on this whole subject, including the fraud of the so-called two-state solution. So I'll get that up on our roadmap here sometime today or early tomorrow, and you can take a look at the story itself. But I think the Press TV Iran coverage of what at least one Israeli news source was reporting, I take this whole Gaza ceasefire thing with a grain of salt. It's a little like the peace with honor agreement that Nixon and Kissinger had supposedly reached with the North Vietnamese in the run-up to the termination of America's involvement in the Vietnam War in April of 1973. I thought that situation at the time was bunk. I thought there was a lot of subterfuge involved in it. I was proven right. I think this Gazan ceasefire thing has the same smell to it.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Vinny. Talk to you next week. Thanks for calling. We've got another caller if there's time. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Hello, Pastor. It's Joe from Florida. How you doing? God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, too. What's cooking today?
Yeah, really quick, and I appreciate Vinny bringing it up. So here's the thing about this so-called truce or ceasefire. So what I smell a cooking is this so-called Abraham Accord, okay? So Trump is just campaigning on this. That, you know, in the moment, right, Bibi is agreeing to stop his genocide because he's being enticed by the Kushner crew into the so-called Abraham Accord. But if you remember, in September of 2023, shortly before false flag, I think it's false flag, October 7th attack, not that it didn't happen, but Bibi allowed it to happen. Bibi, the satanic Jewish war criminal Netanyahu, appeared before the General Assembly of the UN. He holds up a map, and what's on the map? Oh, you've got Israel, you've got Egypt, you've got Jordan, but where's Palestine? Where are the Palestinians? He held up a map showing his presumed plan of the greater Israel and Saudi Arabia with no Palestinian demarcations on it. Now, that map, when he held up in front of the UN, was one of the reasons why Hamas said we must start attacking now, because he was making it clear that his plan is this Abraham Accord. The Abraham Accord is a satanic plan, okay? It's actually worse than what we're doing now, and I fear to say it, but, I mean, this is turning into Jew-America first. I mean, did we vote for Donald Trump so that he would start more wars? No, that he would end them, but I fear that things are going to get worse. What do you think?
I conclude that you are exactly correct, Joe. That is my reading of this situation. And I'm glad you called in here toward the end of the show so we could confirm that you and I and Vinny are all on the same page, as I think Mike Jones is at Culture Wars and the fine people at Middle East Eye and Global Research. Peg Seth to be the next defense minister of the United States, tied up with this Temple Mount crowd. I see nothing but trouble ahead, folks. So the good news is, amen, we're going to be rid of Joe Biden, presumably on Monday, at least in terms of the immediate stench of his presidential administration. But anyone who truly believes that Donald Trump is America first, or who truly believes that we are about to embark on a virtual millennium in the United States, really needs to reassess what they believe on this subject and what all of the signs really tell us. God bless you. I'll be back with you next week on the Dan Koff Report on RBN. Take care.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.